You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
That's right, that's Brewster Kell, all about you, hashtag all about you. But now we're talking about a different hashtag. We're talking about hashtag economy with my good friend Jim Casale. Jim is the founder of Casale Saltpeter. They specialize in taking mid-sized private companies and monetizing them, no?
Yes, that's exactly what we do. We help sell companies. We raise capital for companies. We do advisory work, and we help trouble companies.
Well, there you go. It seems to me like all of those may be in because the economy is shifting gears. So maybe somebody has a little trouble, and they could team up with somebody that's not having trouble, and then you could help them go forward.
The economy's in great shape right now. Contrary to what some people say, it's going to get better. It really is good. We've had a long run, maybe the longest run or the second longest run in history. So things are going great. Unemployment is at 3.8%, which is very low. Just was announced yesterday that there are more jobs available than there are people who can actually fulfill those jobs. Not the right jobs, not people with the right training, but the job market is good. So if a little bit of training, people should be able to get jobs right now.
So does that mean we're looking at inflation? Full employment usually means wages go up. When wages go up, people can pay more for what they're buying, so people figure that they can charge them more.
Well, that's what the economists would say on paper. It doesn't seem to be happening. There is some wage increase going on, wage inflation, but there's still new technologies coming in. AI is something that people are looking at. And as a result of the fact that we're losing labor with the immigration policies that are going on, it should increase the cost of labor, which will cause inflation, notwithstanding some of the new tariffs that also will cause inflation.
Well, let alone the price that they lay on the home that's already not so affordable. But anyway, so Jim, I've been reading about, we talked about a little bit about the impact of technology. I've been reading about the fact that the hospitality workers in Las Vegas are seeking to unionize because they want to defend their jobs against the automatic dealers, the automatic drink pourers, and the automatic, I guess, hosts. What's their chance of stopping technology? They sound like a bunch of Luddites to me.
Well, if you look out there, if people are familiar with the Roomba, which was the vacuum cleaner that started, and it's interesting, it's got two uses. It was developed by the Defense Department as a way to find mines, but turned into a vacuum cleaner. In hospitality, you're seeing more technology for that. You can see room service, where a robot can actually take the plate to your door, can effectively knock on your door or call you to come out and get your tray or your food out of there. So there are concerns, but these people are going to have to be retrained, which is why education is so important. STEM work is so important, and it's not being emphasized enough.
So can we bring enough education to the forefront to retrain these workers? I remember all the displacement in places. Oh, this is a great example. In Pittsburgh, when they went and they tried to get rid of all the steel industry and the dirty industry, and now it's 20, 30 years later, and there's a whole new economy raging in Pittsburgh.
Well, Pittsburgh has a tremendous tech economy. Of course, you've got good, strong universities there, which is very helpful. When you ended up with, you know, Pitt and Carnegie Mellon, it's great. Detroit is another city that's going through that resurgence. You know, one person came downtown, brought his business there, and is starting to have resurgence there. So you need good education for resurgence. You know, the sad things is it was just announced that the state of New Hampshire is actually paying people, if you'll move to New Hampshire and work from your home, a home-based business, and you're in a certain area, they'll actually pay you to move there. So cities are actually, and why is New Hampshire doing that? It's a state that's getting older and their economy is getting not in great shape, not as many jobs. And they're trying to encourage people. They need a tax base.
So then what would be your view of the impact of tax reform? It sounds to me like maybe it bought us another year or two of the recovery.
Well, tax reform to a certain extent has made a lot of people happy. But it's not really made people in the lower strata happy. It's made the rich richer. And it's also increasing the debt at a huge amount. So it's a real problem. The money, at least, was espoused to be used for worker pay. In reality, if we now look what's happening, which was predicted by many, there's more dividends, there's more stock buybacks. Companies are not spending a huge amount on more infrastructure and more equipment and more hard goods. So it's not having the effect that was intended. Now, GDP will go up a little bit, but that may not be for a period of time. But the net result with a bigger deficit is a problem. And the government, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, are not facing and dealing with the deficit, which is getting out of hand, nor are they dealing with the entitlement programs, which at some point have to be dealt with. They're unsustainable the way they are now.
So we balanced the budget in the, I'm going to say it, the early 90s was the last time we balanced the budget. Is it possible to balance the budget given our political climate and the competing focuses?
Well, it's interesting balancing the budget. Of course, in the Clinton administration, we had a couple of years of balanced budget. And before that, you'd have to go back to Miami's Charlie Zwick, who ran Southeast Bank, who was the last one before the Clinton administration to, and Charlie just passed away recently.
God bless him.
Wonderful, wonderful individual. But he was the last one before that to balance the budget when he was budget director. I've not seen any real statistics that anybody can believe that shows any time in the near or medium future will balance the budget, certainly not with the tax cuts and the growth projections that are in place right now. And I worry not for me and not for you, Jim. I worry for my grandchildren. And it's a huge problem for our grandchildren because what we're leaving them, we've talked about it for 10 or 15 years that we're leaving our children, it's going to be really difficult.
Well, it seems like we're already doing that with the education situation and the debt that the young people come out with right now. The fact that we're not, we don't really talk politics here, but I guess here we go. The fact
no,
that
we're talking the econ, we're talking economics and the economy, which happens to be politically driven.
Okay, well, thank you for saving me there.
So we're not talking politics.
Okay, good. So then it seems like we're not investing money in the right places when we pay our taxes because the money that we're investing is going to pay for interest rate and not for assets to grow income. Talking like a business person, like the guy running the country is a business person.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. We don't want to talk politics. So stay away from the guy running the country. But, you know, there seems to be a move in many states where people are finally recognizing we have to pay teachers. You've got to start at a very young age because that's the way for people to have an equal opportunity. Everybody in this country truly deserves an equal opportunity. They may not deserve the end result, the same dollar at the end. Those who work hard, who do well, should benefit from that. That's what our country's made on. But at a young age, everybody has to be given an equal opportunity. And we've got to get good teachers. We've got to pay teachers fairly, which there's, you know, we've seen recently some strikes in a few states, you know, like West Virginia and others where we're starting to pay. So you got to start their training and then you got to train them in the right things. You've got to train certain people with STEM, which is the science and the math. But I'm not sure everybody does need a college degree. But a plumber today, take a plumber who doesn't necessarily need to go to college, definitely needs a great math and other, because the plumber shows up at your house with a computer today. He has some tools, but the first thing he does is take his computer and plug it into your water heater. And then he has to get on the phone with technical support. It's not like the old days. He needs to be educated. He or she needs to be educated.
Well, thank you for at least expanding to the ladies. But I think that you're absolutely right that vocational training is required. And I think that the plumber who may not have gone to college still knows how to plug in a computer. I think that the plumber that hasn't gone to college still should have functional math skills. And I think that's important.
But and it's more than that. It's at every level. You know, the person who is the old waitress or the wait person or the waiter today has to have technical skills. I was walking through the Philadelphia airport a couple of days ago, and I noticed at every seat in the restaurant, there was a computer. There was a little iPad for ordering and other stuff. And the wait staff has to get that going, has to fix it when it's broke, that computer. And again, this is why some of the labor costs are not going up geometrically, because what's happening is restaurants are paying a little more, but they're reducing the staff. How are they doing it? It's technology. You know, you might, obviously someone's still bringing the food from the kitchen out. But those orders and those payments, it even had a place to swipe your credit card. You could order right from your stand. Someone will bring your food out. It reduces the labor cost, which goes back to what you talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah. And I was just going to say, and then one of the examples they gave is that there's a bar called Robots. And guess who serves you the drinks? robots. So I think that we're heading in a direction.
Wait, it's not nice to call those people robots. Those are not, you're confused. Are those robots? I guess it depends on the amount of drinks you've had.
Well, there you go. They're mechanical intermediaries.
There you go. Yes, we got to give them a nicer title or a name.
I gave them a promotion, actually.
Like Alexa.
Well, there you go. I like her, but nobody else is naming their kids Alexa anymore. And hold that thought, because it's about time for a break. We're going to come back and talk about more hot button economic issues with our in-house, in-town Mr. Economy himself, Jim Casale, and me. Even talk about the factors that are impacting mid-sized businesses after this. Wanda, it's all yours.